the wax. I have tried to be understanding towards you, because really we do have a lot in common. But now... Granny's body jerked back like a paper doll caught by a gust of wind. The Count was halfway towards her, hands in the pockets of his jacket. He broke his step momentarily. "Oh, dear, I hardly felt that one," he said. "Was that your best?" Granny staggered but raised a hand. A heavy chair by the wall was picked up and tumbled across the room. "For a human, that was quite good," said the Count, "but I don't think you can keep on sending it away." Granny flinched and raised her other hand. A huge chandelier began to swing. "Oh, dear," said the Count. "Still not good enough. Not nearly good enough." Granny backed away. "But I will promise you this," said the Count. "I won't kill you. On the contrary." Invisible hands picked her up and slammed her against the wall. Agnes went to step forward, but Magrat squeezed her arm. "Don't think of it as losing, Granny Weatherwax," said the Count. "You will live forever. I would call that a bargain, wouldn't you?" Granny managed a sniff of disapproval. "I'd call that unambitious," she said. Her face screwed up in pain. "Goodbye," said the Count. The witches felt the mental blow. The hall wavered. But there was something else, in a realm outside normal space. Something bright and silvery, slipping like a fish.
"She's gone," whispered Nanny. "She sent herself somewhere."
"Where? Where?" hissed Magrat.
"Don't think about it," said Nanny.
Magrat's expression froze.
"Oh, no," she began.
"Don't think it. Don't think it," said Nanny urgently. "Pink elephants. Pink elephants." She wouldn't.
"La, la, 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 la. Hee, 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 hee," shouted Nanny, dragging Magrat towards the kitchen door. "Come on, let's go. Agnes, it's up to you two."
The door slammed behind them. Agnes heard the bolts slide home. It was a thick door, and they were big bolts. The builders of Lancre Castle hadn't understood the concept of planks less than 3 inches thick, or locks that couldn't withstand a battering ram. The situation would, to an outsider, have seemed very selfish. But logically, 3 witches in danger had been reduced to 1 witch in danger. 3 witches would have spent too much time worrying about one another and what they were going to do. 1 witch was her own boss. Agnes knew all this, and it still seemed selfish. The Count was walking towards Granny. Out of the corner of her eye, Agnes could see Vlad and his sister approaching her. There was a solid door behind her. Perdita wasn't coming up with any ideas. So she screamed. That was a talent. Being in two minds wasn't a talent, it was merely an affliction. But Agnes's vocal range could melt earwax at the top of the scale. She started high and saw that she'd judged right. Just after the point where bats and woodworm fell out of the rafters and dogs barked down in the town, Vlad clapped his hands over his ears. Agnes gulped for breath.
"Another step and I'll do it louder," she shouted.
The Count picked up Granny Weatherwax as though she were a doll.
"I'm sure you will," he said, "and sooner or later you will run out of breath. Vlad, she followed you home. You may keep her, but she's your responsibility. You have to feed her and clean out her cage."
The younger vampire approached cautiously.
"Look, you're really not being sensible," he hissed.
"Good!"
And then he was beside her. But Perdita had been expecting this, even if Agnes hadn't, and as he arrived, her elbow was already well into its thrust and caught him in the stomach before he could stop it. She strode forward as he doubled up, noting that inability to learn was a vampire trait that was hard to shake off. The Count laid Granny Weatherwax on the table.
"Igor!" he shouted. "Where are you, you stupid—"
"Yes, master."
The Count spun round.
"Why do you always turn up behind me like that?"
"The old Count always expected it of me, master. It's a professional thing."
"Well, stop it."
"Yes, master."
"And the ridiculous voice, too. Go and ring the dinner gong."
"Yes, master."
"And I've told you before about the walk," the Count shouted, as Igor limped across the hall. "It's not even amusing."
Igor walked past Agnes, lisping nastily under his breath. Vlad caught up with Agnes as she strode towards the table, and she was slightly glad because she didn't know what she'd do when she got there.
"You must go," he panted. "I wouldn't have let him hurt you, of course, but father can get testy."
"Not without Granny,"
a faint voice in her head said.
"Leave me."
"That wasn't me," Perdita volunteered. "I think that was her." Agnes stared at the prone body. Granny Weatherwax looked a lot smaller when she was unconscious.
"Would you